It's Mail It In Friday, brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer.
There's something important I was supposed to do today.
Have five daiquiris?
No, you remember to do that.
I fell asleep by the pool for a few hours.
Did you fall asleep or did you pass out?
Shut up!
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
This hour of Mail It In Friday is brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer. Just like Canada, Old Tomorrow Canadian Pale Ale is feisty but polite. You're awesome, Canada. So is our beer. They sent down another case of beer today for the boys.
Disappeared pretty quickly.
Yeah, those people in the newsroom probably took it.
I noticed that. I went out into the hall and I came back and it was gone.
Yep. Moved it pretty quickly. I'm telling you. You can't leave anything laying around here. If it's not nailed down, it'll disappear.
It's so true. Anything free, doesn't matter what it is.
I agree.
It is out the door.
Let's bring in your boy JR and ask him about Cutler, how he's going to be received in the media. For a former Chicago athlete, now in the media?
Yeah.
All right, let's bring in Jeremy Roenick. I'm sure you heard the news that Jay Cutler's hanging him up and he's stepping right into the booth. For Fox
Good.
Sports. What do you make of that?
Good. Yeah. Good. Get him as far away from the football field as possible. But keep him out of the booth, too, because he's got zero personality and he doesn't like people. So I don't know why he's going in the booth to talk. He's as arrogant as they get. I thought I was arrogant. He just topped them all.
So you're saying he's at a new level, JR, even for
he's
you?
He's at a new level. I don't like Jay Cutler at all, as you can tell. And he should just retire and just go get a pig farm and just raise pigs the rest of his career.
I don't know anyone that is even in a gray area with Cutler. You know, like anyone that's even like, bah, I could take it or leave it. I don't
like why was everyone why did hates he stay him. In the league that long then?
Well, he's got a great arm, but he throws the worst interceptions on earth. And that's what I'm curious to find out, Jeremy, is when he's apparently calling.
He's selfish.
He's calling a Bears game, though. His first game, I think, is going to be like week three of the exhibition season. If he criticizes Mitch Trubisky for throwing a bad interception, how will Bears fans respond to that?
I think that this has to be a trial period because there's no way that Chicago fans are going to stand having him critique anybody after the performance that he gave as a Chicago Bear, and especially at the playoffs a few years back when he fell down and hurt his knee and in a playoff game went to the bench and sat there with his hoodie up for the whole game and didn't even bother to help the rookie quarterback that was battling his ass off to try to win a football game. He was sitting there moping and pouting. You know, everybody sees it, everybody knows it, and then when he's in public, you can't come up to him and say hi or ask for an autograph because he's one of those guys that shuffles you right off because he doesn't have time for you. So that will not take very long for a Chicago fan to boot him out of the booth.
JR, let's take it over to hockey. What do you think about some things coming out of Washington, maybe Ovi going down to the third line? I know Barry Trotz, he pulled Holtby, which at the time I didn't really agree with. Do you think he's kind of setting himself up to put himself in trouble here if this doesn't work out?
Well, the coach has to do something that's going to spark some of these guys. I mean, Ovi, when you watch Ovi play in the playoffs, it's hit or miss. And, you know, I'm a big Ovi fan, and I don't know whether you guys are, but when he starts trying to do things with all talent and starts to try to dipsy doodle around guys, throw the puck between people's feet, try to dance around people, that's not the Alex Ovechkin that's successful. It's the Ovechkin that's digging hard, that's working hard, that you can see the intensity on his face. He's banging bodies into the corner. He's making that wide drive around somebody and going hell-bent for the net. We haven't seen that very often with Ovechkin. And I think he needs a wake-up call. There's no question about it. Holtby probably needs a wake-up call more than anybody. I mean, an 867 save percentage right now for a guy that's on the Vezina ballot for the, you know, for the best goaltender in the game and is the defending Vezina Trophy winner. I mean, this is stuff that Barry Trotz has to start pushing some buttons, don't you think?
Yeah.
Well, they're down 3-1, and if they lose this, I mean, That'll be 2 years in a row against Pittsburgh. But what makes this one feel very different is the fact that Crosby, he missed game four. Maybe he returns in game five. We'll get to that in a moment. But Letang's not playing. Their number one goalie was down, even though Fleury's been brilliant. Like, this would feel like a choke job, wouldn't it? I mean, how would you describe this if and
wouldn't,
when it comes to that point?
It wouldn't feel. It would be. I mean, granted, I'm not taking anything away from Pittsburgh. I mean, they are the Cup defending champions. But, again, Washington was the number one team in the league, points-wise. They were playing really well coming into the playoffs. They'd added Shattenkirk. They'd added some grit. Everybody was, including me, was touting them as this is going to be the year for them. And they struggled with Toronto. Now they're struggling even more mightily with a depleted Pittsburgh Penguins team. There'd be huge disappointment, big choke.
JR, do you think Shattenkirk's left some money on the table?
100%. It's amazing you said that because I've had that conversation with at least a dozen people over the last week. You know, here's a guy who I'm very fond of, not only as a player, but as a person. He's a great guy. He's a talented guy. But when you're sought after at the trade deadline, as much as Kevin Shattenkirk was, and Washington getting him, and all of a sudden everybody's like, okay, now Washington's, they're set for, with every aspect of the game. And then Shattenkirk comes in and performs, not just in the playoffs, but when he got there at the end of the year, too, he wasn't that great. He might have been a $7 million player, probably down to 4.5, 5. There's no question that his performance this year, since he's been traded, has definitely decreased his value. And I'm sad about that because I love Kevin Shattenkirk.
We're chatting with Jeremy Roenick, former NHLer, NBC hockey analyst. The Sidney Crosby story is obviously the biggest one going right now. And he took part in practice, and everything looked to be fine. No guarantees he plays tomorrow. I'd still be surprised if he does, but everyone's got a take on whether or not he should be playing. Where do you stand on this Crosby concussion story?
I'm like everybody else. I hope he's okay because he is the best player in the world and has been so much fun to watch. And he is one of the poster boys in the National Hockey League. We need him in the game. We need him in the league, and we need him being as good as he has been. I think he's going to be okay. I don't think that you should rush it, though. I think Pittsburgh has a nice little situation right now. They have Washington worried. They have them nervous. They're up 3-1. They can go in there and try to win another game without him, get Crosby a little bit more rest if that's what's needed. They got to be careful, I think, with Crosby, with his history of concussions. But if you're Pittsburgh, you're feeling pretty good about your situation and your ability to ride this out.
As for the other series out west, a lot of people up here focusing on Edmonton, Anaheim, tied at 2. Oh, you were saying this yesterday, that it felt like a pendulum swing in game four, like that the Ducks might not slow down here. They were favored coming into it. Edmonton punched them in the mouth the first two games. But what did you make of the way Anaheim responded, and how do you see that series playing out from here on out?
It's all Ryan Getzlaff, right? I mean, how good has he been? He's been one of the MVPs of the playoffs. And he turned that game around, game four, single-handedly. And for a guy of his age that plays the amount of minutes that he plays, he plays more minutes than any forward in the National Hockey League. I mean, 25 minutes in game four he played. This is a guy that was pinned as being out of shape 2 years ago and why the team struggled. But this Ryan Getzlaff has got this team playing the way it should. And it was funny during our telecast after the first period of game four, Keith Jones said, this series is over. Anaheim cannot beat the Edmonton Oilers. Well, all of a sudden Ryan Getzlaff tells his team that this is not happening. And, now I think this whole series has swung. Edmonton's just got to learn to play 60 minutes more consistent. And if they do that, they've proven that they can do this. But now that they put themselves behind the eight ball by losing both games at home.
What do you think about the matchup with Connor McDavid? It's always, what do they do with Getzlaff? What do they do with Kessler? Who do you get him away from? I mean, you were a star player, JR. Is there a point where you just got to say, the hell with who I'm going out there and playing against? I just got to go out there and make the most of it instead of trying to disrupt the whole bench and try to find the right matchup. Sooner or later, guys just got to go out and play.
Absolutely. There's no question. You got to play the game.
And, you know, if you're going to be one of the best players, you got to beat the best players. And sometimes you're going to have to go up against, certain matchups. But I think if you're Randy Carlyle, you have a very strong presence down the middle. You can throw Ryan Getzlaf against Connor McDavid. You can throw Kessler against Connor McDavid. You can even throw Cagliano with his speed against Connor McDavid. Not that Cagliano is going to stop him, but I think he has the tenacity and his tenacious enough to make his life a little bit miserable. But again, Connor McDavid has got to play 60 minutes. He was absolutely spectacular in that first period in Game 4, but then he just disappeared. But if you're Randy Carlyle, you play your troops, man. They're ready to play against anybody.
Yeah, I agree. That depth is really showing through right now. We'll go back to that Edmonton game and even throughout the playoffs, JR. Where are you at with video replay and goaltender interference and the offsides? And do you think it's helping the game or is it hurting it?
I think the offsides got to be thrown out of the game. It takes up too much time. It drives fans crazy. I think it drives the players crazy. And I know you have to get things right, but if the referee can't see it with his eye as it goes over, then you got to let the game be the game. I think in as far as the goaltender interference, I think we've had so many situations where people are guessing whether the rule is written or if it's being depicted properly by the referee. I mean, we have Corey Crawford got majorly interfered with. They called it no interference. Then you have, just the other night with Corey Perry going into Cam Talbot, and that wasn't interference. There's, interference in Boston and Ottawa with Anderson getting hit, and that is interference. There's just so many different things that bother me. I really agreed with the rule with the call though on Cam Talbot. If you're out of that blue crease and there's contact, then it's fair game. But I just don't like it. I wish that the rule was more clear cut and able to, where everybody can decipher it on the spot.
Always appreciate you taking time for us. We'll do it again down the road. Thank you, JR.
Yeah, you guys are the best. Always love talking to you guys.
There he is.
Doc, and it'll be good.
See you, man. Bet. Thanks, JR.
Jeremy Roenick, former NHLer, NBC hockey analyst, and hates Jay Cutler.
It's amazing to see the amount of hatred. But now, Phil Simms wasn't a very loved guy, though. But was he kind of a lukewarm people were?
People didn't love his.
They don't like him either, man. There was.
But they didn't like him as a broadcaster. Like, a lot of people didn't love him as a broadcaster. And I do think there were some people that were like, yeah, whatever. He's okay. He's fine.
Right, right.
Like I said, though, we talked about it earlier. Everybody doesn't like somebody in this business. When there was a big game and he was coming on, Twitter would just be like, I can't believe it's Sims time. I don't want to deal with this.
They were the broadcasting whipping boys of the NFL. Nance, Sims. They had that former ref, I can't remember his name now, he used to come on and he would give analysis in terms of penalties or reviews, and he was always wrong. It was shocking how often he would come on and say, oh, that's coming back, there's no question.
Always wrong.
It was shocking, and they had to get rid of him a year ago.
Really?
He was only on board for a year or two, and he was so wrong. And then Sims would come back and give his analysis on how the guy was right or wrong. It's pretty
disaster,
ugly.
Eh?
So from that standpoint, Romo's walking into a pretty good spot because he's taken over for a guy who wasn't really loved. Cutler was hated as a player, right? And as a person, by all accounts, a lot of people come around him and they're like, I'm not a fan of the way this guy conducts himself. So we'll see what Cutler can do. But you mentioned, news out of Pittsburgh, and we've focused a lot on this series because I think it is the series that the majority of people, hockey fans, objective hockey fans, are more intrigued by because of the history of these two teams and the superstars. Crosby practiced today. We'll see if he plays tomorrow. But Ovechkin was on the third line. And what has been happening a lot recently, and we brought it up yesterday when we had McKenzie and Duthie in here, the idea of Washington potentially blowing it up if they lose, and would that mean Ovechkin ever gets traded? Ultimately, I think we would agree it's a moot point. He's not going anywhere. The owner's not going to trade him. And he's got a no-trade clause. He's their captain. He's the face of the team. He's not going anywhere.
Right.
But I was thinking about this on the way in today. How many teams out there would trade for him? He's got 4 years left at a cap hit of $9.5 million. He'll be 31 to begin next year. That's a very complicated trade to make to begin with. It's not that teams wouldn't take him. Of course they would. But to take on that kind of a contract for a guy who's north of 30 and is not the same player he was a few years ago, I don't know how many teams would even work out a deal for Alex Ovechkin.
I think there would be some teams like a Florida that are looking to whether they move off from Yager or it would be a big thing to put people in the seats, possibly something like that.
Vegas.
This is ridiculous, though. This is just joking.
I know it's not going to happen, like, but this is my point, though. Like, you got to look at it as a two-way street.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it's easy to – every team in the league would orchestrate a trade for McDavid. Everyone would.
Right.
People would say, take whatever the hell you want. It's a blank check.
Yeah.
And there was a time in his career where I would think the same applied for Ovechkin and for Crosby. When he was scoring 65 goals, every team in the league would say, call me if he's ever available. Well, how many would be returning calls if they actually put him out there on the marketplace? Just because of the cap error and the cap hit.
You're right, but – it's with goals at such a premium, and I know he had an off year, but this guy had an off year and had 30 plus. Like, that's I think he can go back to 50. Like, I do, and I know he's north of 30, but this guy's a special athlete. He's a freak. Like, you've admitted it. The guy doesn't get hurt. Like, that Kadri hit, I thought he was done for the playoffs. Like, it looked like he blew his knee out and hyperextended it as well. Guy came back. Like, it's amazing the durability he has. I remember a couple years ago he had an off year, and I think we all thought, well, Father Time's catching up with him, I think. And the guy bounced back with how many? 3 50-goal seasons in a row? Now he's had a bad season again. I still believe it's a premium, but to your point, at $9.5 million and the cap hasn't really gone up, what team would you – it would be a special team – as far as, like, I see the Islanders if they move away or try and bring in him with Tavares to make Tavares happy, that type of stuff. I couldn't, it's not every team, to your point.
Well, someone texting in saying, I would take Ovechkin any day of the week. I'm not saying taking him on your team is a bad idea. What I'm saying is it's a very complicated trade to orchestrate because you have to consider all of the variables in play. Would I still take him on my team? Yeah, because I'm with you. I think he can score 40 next year, more than likely in his sleep. But he'll be 31, so he's on the north side of 30.
Yeah.
I believe he's got 4 years left at $9.5 million. That's a huge chunk of change, man. That's a huge commitment to a guy who does appear to be slowing down. Now, can he still score 40 because he sits in the slot and his shot is still the same? Yes, I think he probably can. But is he the force he was 5, 6, 7 years ago? No, and I don't think that's ever coming back.
No.
I don't think you're ever seeing
that. It's only going
that.
One way from there, and it's south.
Exactly. So I'm just saying this almost as a case study. I would be very curious to find out if their GM ever sent out an email to all 31 teams, or the 30 teams excluding them.
There would be teams. There would have to be. Oh,
yeah. There would be some, but there wouldn't be 20.
No.
Like the Leafs would never contemplate. Leafs,
no.
Oilers, Penguins, like these teams, there's a bunch of teams you could rattle off. Chicago, they'd be like, I can't even think about doing it.
But you could make a case for 10 and like a marketplace for 10 for sure. Maybe even up to 15, just depending on cap situation. Because keep in mind, if you're going to, and this is all hypothetical and ridiculous because it's not happening, but if you were the LA Kings and you needed to shed money, there would be salary going the other way to fit him in. That's my point. And you would have to pay a premium still.
Here's the thing. Would you be acquiring him thinking this is going to help me win a cup or this is going to help me sell tickets? Like if you're Vegas, you're not thinking a cup anyway.
Right.
Well, Vegas, you're basically putting out a...
It's like a rodeo clown.
Yeah,
like go out
animal.
There...
Well, but one
come
of the,
and see the
but,
greatest
not,
goal scorer ever.
Exactly. That's the thing. He is arguably the greatest goal scorer that this game has ever seen. That's the one thing. That's the and it's not being lost here in this silly hypothetical. It's this is, you know how you say when you look back and it's special times in watching Austin Matthews' first season and other guys go through process. Like, we're going to look back when our kids and our kids' kids See, I watched Alex Ovechkin live in the prime. I played against him. Like, that's going to be scary because I don't know if we'll see another goal scorer like that for a long time, the complete package. You'll see his goal scorers, but not a guy when he first started who would run you over to get – like Lindros. Lindros was a generational player because he could score every different type of way. And that's what Ovi has that, had that, whatever, however you want to term it. He just didn't fight like Lindros. That's the only thing. But he's 235 pounds and an absolute beast. So I
like, look at his stats when he came into the league. He scored 52 his first year in the league. Then he dropped to 46, if you can even call it that. And then 65, 56, 50. Then he had his two dips.
Yeah, 32 and 38. Yeah.
But then the lockout year, 32, and then 51, 53, 50, and then this year, 33. He's got 558 goals in 921 games.
It's gross.
Those are remarkable stats. Remarkable. But he's not a kid anymore.
No, you're
he's
right.
On the north side of 30. I think I misspoke. I think he'll actually be 32 to begin next year. At 9.5 for 4 years,
yeah.
I just
I'm confident in saying that 15 teams would find a spot for him. Just
you
the
think
other,
15 teams? I think 15.
I could go through every roster, and you could find a trade to make it work. That's my point.
Okay, but would it make sense though? At the same time, like if you're Colorado, why would you acquire him right now? You are brutal. If you're Vancouver, why would you acquire him right now? You are brutal. You got to think about that too.
If I'm Buffalo, if I'm Carolina, if I could find a guy who could add 35 or 40 plus goals into my lineup, if I add 40 goals into Carolina, they make the playoffs.
I would take him in Carolina. I'm with you.
Would you take him in Buffalo? I would.
I would. Yeah, I think I would take him in Buffalo.
I'm trying to.
But there's two. I mean, I'm with you.
I know, but that's just two off the top of my head. I believe that I could get half the league interested in this guy because, keep in mind, there would be money going the other way. So 9.5, massive cap hit, but you're bringing in the greatest goal scorer of all time. And it's not like he's going to put in 12. For the next 3 or 4 years, you could probably bank on, if you say 35 to 40 a year, that's value.
It's a lot of production.
And it's a lot of money, you're right.
It's a lot of money and a lot of time.
But
it's an interesting conversation.
It is.
But the point is, though, like everyone's stopping the conversation at the Caps are never going to do it.
Right.
But we're bringing a different angle to it that it's not like every team in the league would be like, take them.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, to my earlier point, if McDavid was on, it would be like Lindros. Every team in the league would say, take whatever you want. I'll just take McDavid.
Here's a hypothetical.
I think Matthews would have the same reaction.
But that's what I'm saying. Here's a hypothetical for you. If they decide to move away from JVR and they can get a defenseman and the Leafs, would you take Alex Ovechkin on the left side on with Matthews and Nylander?
No.
You wouldn't?
I wouldn't, because in 3 years, guess who you got to pay? Are you going to have enough money when Ovi's still got 2 years left on his deal at 9.5?
No. But you just said, so if you got to pay, he's got 4 more years. You're going to have to pay those guys. But all I'm saying is you're moving out other players. Like, I personally would. If I could make the financial part work, that's just the if.
I would not do it, because I think you're looking in, if this continues to trend in the direction I think it's going to,
right,
Matthews is going to probably make 9.5.
He's going to.
He might make more. Marner and Nylander is going to be up around 7, 7.5. At some point, like, imagine losing Nylander because you took on Ovechkin.
But here's the point. I'm saying you may be losing $5 million right away, so you're only making
that's
up
right
four
away,
and a half.
But those are gone anyway, Noodles. Like, what JVR is getting paid over the next year has no bearing on Matthews and Nylander and Marner's long-term deals.
I think you're not seeing. You could make the numbers work financially.
Of course, but you'd lose people to make it work.
You wouldn't lose anybody to make it work.
Yes, you would.
You know what you'd lose? Somebody farther down in your lineup that you're paying too much.
Not at 9.5.
No. What I'm saying is, JV, I know, and I'm not even.
We really don't need to get in a fight about whether we're going to get Ovechkin.
I'm just saying you would take him. I 100%, if I was a Toronto Maple Leafs, you could make that work. This guy is the greatest goal scorer of our generation. I'd love to see him play with Matthews for the next 4 years.
But
and if you could make that work financially, you wouldn't take that?
No, I'm telling you, you won't be able to make it financially. That's what you're not listening for me.
But the cap is going to continue to go up a couple million every year.
Even at that, Noodles.
Even
How much do you think they're going to have to pay Matthews, Nylander, and Marner if they keep trending at this pace?
William Nylander's never going to make $9 million a year. He is not a $9 million player. You think he's a generational player? He's not.
When did I say I thought he was a generational player? But I don't think he's a generational player.
You're thinking these guys are going to make – Austin Matthews is going to make $9 million. Mitch Marner – maybe up there, but I think these guys are going to be second tier outside of Austin Matthews.
Couple things on that. I think Matthews will make more than that.
Correct.
And I think if Marner and Nylander over the next couple of years continue to put up 60-plus points and upwards of 30 goals,
that's
you're probably
going
to have
money
to pay him.
$6 million.
Eberle was, what, 4 years ago when he signed
doesn't
it?
Doesn't matter.
It's he more
did
than
it at,
that.
He did it at 19 years old like these guys. That's my point. It's $6 million a year.
Okay, so let's say it is. Let's say it's $6 million a year.
Right.
That's $12 million for those two, and let's say Matthews gets 10. That's
right.
$22 million on three players. Then $9.5 million for Ovechkin?
Yeah, and you could
you're
make
telling
it work.
Me
the
you're
cap is going to continue to go up.
Okay.
I'm not a math genius, but I know I could make this work.
All right. Your second, third, and fourth line will be
a
million.
This guy was in management before.
A million-dollar player.
I don't know what he's talking about.
I'm just telling you, I believe it would work. You could find, there are creative people and smarter people than I am.
Yeah, we're getting Ovechkin to play with Matthews. Talk about people
I think you should be excited about that.
The fan base is starting to hate you, Hayes.
I mean, have an idea.
Yeah, have an idea.
Don't Eckers leave me. I'm not in the mood for Eckers.
Have an idea.
Today.
I think it's exciting.
We're getting Ovechkin.
Yeah, we're getting
how
Ovechkin.
How about you chime in with a take instead of just sitting there playing referee?
No, this isn't we're not arguing. I
know
this debating.
I just think if there's a guy like Ovechkin, where if you got the fact, this is so stupid. This
I know,
is
it's never happened.
A
guy like Ovechkin comes across your plate, you get the facts. It's like, how do you not kind of somewhat be interested? Anyway,
yeah,
I see what you're saying financially, but I believe it can
Noodles
work.
Will make the finances work.
I won't make it.
I'll
I'm
talk
not,
to
I'm
Ovi
not
about
Matthews.
His attitude.
I'm telling you, they
don't
wouldn't
ruin
work.
Austin Matthews.
You would lose people, like is what I'm saying. You would lose
have an
people.
Idea.
All right, Tom Stirner will join us, and he'll help us tee up Game 3 tonight. Raptors taking on the Cavs. Jurassic Park not open again. No
it's
tailgate
just gonna
tonight.
It's just going to be the third version of the ass beating.
You're calling a smoke show tonight?
Come on, dude.
I think they compete tonight.
No,
I'm
they
telling
don't.
You.
Well, they could use a lead. That's what they need.
That would help.
They need a lead.
Big start. I think DeMar has a big night.
You're calling DeMar
he's
having
gotta,
a big
he's
night.
He's got to get his act going.
He needs to Eckers lead this whole situation.
Have an idea.
I mean, have an idea.
All right, Tom Stirner next. All right, couching to 10K update later in the hour. The final update before the real deal Holyfield on Sunday. And Mother Nature, I really hate Mother Nature with a passion. The weather the past month has been just horrendous, and it's supposed to continue throughout the night, throughout tomorrow, and then on Sunday, we're on that stupid starting line at 7:30 in the morning. It's supposed to be like 5 degrees and potentially snowing.
What if you wore a toque or a ski mask?
I'm going to wear my old Tomorrow craft beer hat.
Yes.
I got to make sure I do that.
You should wear a balaclava, like a full ski mask. Oh, what would you wear?
I'm going to be decked out.
Like, you have to wear a toque for sure to stay warm.
When?
For the 10K on Sunday.
As if. Any inclement weather, I'm not showing up.
Ski mask.
Did you hear what I just said? If it's not sunny and...
It's
well,
not
it's not
sunny.
Going to be. You
like,
know what it's going to be. It's going to be 5 degrees and snowing.
There's flood warnings right now.
Well, I think that's a danger to everyone involved. Volunteers, everyone. Stay home.
You're a man of the people.
And we discussed it. We got to let Noodles get healthy. We know the route.
Well, I'm with you. That's where I'm coming at it from.
The route.
You know that we're a big supporter of doing things
in three.
We
meet one Sunday afternoon. We do the run. We go for dinner as buddies.
Yeah, I think we could
do it. What do you mean? Like, without it, like, marshaled and all that kind of stuff? Like, running down the street with cars and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
We just know the route and we do it. We get it done.
All right. Well, we're still going to convene and figure this out. Carlo Colaiacovo in studio for the 6 p.m. hour. Future headlines in about an hour. Couching to 10K update later in the hour. Cavs wraps tonight right here on TSN 1050. And let's bring in former Raptors assistant coach Tom Stirner.
Tom, how you doing today?
Guys, how are you? I heard it's a little rainy up there.
Yeah, it's awful.
It's not going well.
Well, we got a marathon on Sunday, and we're hoping it keeps raining so we don't have to do it.
That's right. I remember that marathon. That disrupts the whole city. It takes everybody out of place. Yeah, I got it.
It does kind of drive a lot of people nuts, but We'll be out there, hopefully. We'll see.
Anyway, about this series, is there anything the Raps showed you in game one or two? I was telling these guys earlier, I see they have no chance tonight. Do you have any differing opinion?
Well, I think they have a chance. And you can point to, if you take a look at the Boston-Washington series, obviously Washington rebounded pretty well coming back home last night. And so I think Toronto will put up a fight tonight, and I think they get the win tonight.
You're calling a win tonight?
Wow.
I'm calling a win.
So I'm assuming you believe Kyle Lowry will be 100% tonight.
I don't believe he'll be 100%, but Kyle's a tough guy. You know, so he's going to go out there, and I think in his mind, he's going to go out there and give the best effort out there, which means if he can go out and show his teammates that he's willing to lay it out there, and he does, then I think that puts everybody on else notice that they have to play harder, that they have to pick up the slack, that they have to fill in the gaps that he can't provide, and it starts with DeMar DeRozan.
Well, DeMar's been terrible. I mean, let's be honest. That was probably the worst game I can recall him playing in game two. And I have not loved his attitude even in between games. Yesterday, I think he was kind of joking around. In fact, I know he was. But he was talking about shutting down LeBron, and he said, I'll give someone $100 if they can shut him down. If you're still in that room, I mean, what do you make of that kind of comment from DeMar, considering the way that he played in game two?
Well, I think the frustration is clearly coming out. And one of the things that happens is sometimes you blurt something out. I don't know where DeMar is with it today, but I think it's on the entire team. And I think there's an adjustment to be made because certainly they have gone out and tried to defend LeBron with four or five different guys, and it hasn't worked out well for them. So I think now they have to take a page out of the Milwaukee book and out of the Cleveland book and double LeBron. And I know what the initial reaction is going to be. Well, Cleveland's doing such a great job shooting threes, it's going to open up even more threes. But it can't hurt now. I mean, they're banging them now. They're shooting 55% from three as it is. So the fact that you go out and you try to attack a guy, that you go on the offensive at the defensive end of the floor, I think is something that Toronto has to show and exhibit tonight.
With Tom Stirner, former assistant coach of the Raptors, our TSN Raptors analyst, you mentioned the magic word for me, and that is three-pointers. The Raptors have not been a team that shoots a ton of three-pointers to begin with, and they certainly have not been through the first two games against Cleveland. Cleveland, I think, attempted 16 or 17 more threes in game two and hit like 12 more than the Raptors. That's the game right there. I mean, we can talk about individual players all we want, matchups all we want, adjustments all we want. The Raptors do not attempt enough threes. They do not hit enough threes. But do they have the capability to actually change a game plan where it leads to them shooting more three-pointers?
Well, I think part of that is you have to understand the makeup of your team. And I think you're right in that Cleveland has done a terrific job from hitting, you know, or making shots from the three-point line. But I think the Raptors have to affect that. I think they have to affect that at the defensive end. You know, the play with Ibaka and LeBron, it's getting a lot of play right now, is embarrassing. You know, the fact that he's going to spin the ball and shoot it in Ibaka's face, that's disturbing to me, that somebody, that a professional player would allow yourself to be embarrassed like that. But getting back to your point, in the Raptors shooting more threes, you have to have makers. And Pat Patterson, one of the guys who's effective shooter from three, is 2 for 10. So they have attempted the threes. They haven't made them. But I think the key stat, what Toronto is good at, is getting to the free throw line. And in this series, Cleveland's gone to the line 63 times and the Raptors have gone 39 times. So you have to do what you do best. And that is, they were second in the league during the regular season and getting to the free throw line. They have not done that. And I think they have to start with DeMar DeRozan. He has to get going. He can't average 12 points for the series and expect them to win. So do what DeMar does best, isolate him. Get them in a situation, and you're going to say, well, the double teams. Well, it's where you isolate them. You isolate them at the elbows. It's the most difficult place on the floor to double team. And so I think that's where DeMar has to operate from. Let the double teams come. It's a little easier to find the openings and get better shots with that type of an attack offensively.
with Tom Stirner, former assistant coach of the Raptors. Raps Cavs game 3 tonight on TSN 1050. We had a conversation earlier in the show about the LeVar Ball show and the Big Baller brand and the announcement yesterday that each pair will cost $495. You've seen a lot of parents in your day. You've come along, you come across a lot of them in the pro game, the college game. What do you make of LeVar Ball's routine and where this is going?
Yeah, it's embarrassing. It really is, and it's embarrassing. And I hope, like I said, I think the kid is really in the middle of this. I think his father obviously is driving force behind a bunch of this stuff. You don't hear him come out and make all these boastful comments. It's usually his dad. I think when the young man gets in the league, certainly the league will take care of that. You know, the players around the league, and for lack of a better guy, LeBron James's of the world, I think will certainly bring him into the league and let him know he's a rookie and that that's not acceptable. It's unfortunate. I think that this is where we are a little bit with the game, and certainly that's not the makeup of the NBA. That's not what it's about. I think Shaq came out and said some really nice things in a sense that he always tried to price his shoes where they were affordable to all young players. And even at $100, I understand that that's still a lot of money, but it's certainly not at that $500 price tag. That's just ridiculous.
Thank you for doing this, Tom. Always appreciate it.
Guys, thanks for having me on. Appreciate it. Thanks very much.
Tom Stirner. $495 for a pair of shoes.
He nailed it.
The guy's a complete jackass. This is the craziest thing I've ever heard of.
Yet we're talking about it. He gets buzz online. People talk about it on ESPN.
We can talk about it, but you know what? Nobody's going to buy the shoe. Nobody.
Be interesting to see who does, though. Like, because people will. Like, I don't know who, but I would love to see the numbers, like pre-orders and all that. The guy is unlikable, but the son has done nothing. Like, it amazes me how the dad is just such an idiot.
But the son is not even a name where anybody's going to want to buy the shoe.
Fame is a strange thing, though, in the United States. I mean, wouldn't you say the same thing about the Kardashians?
I was just going to say, who's the guy? He's a rapper, but is known as out of this world, like his... crazy. He met with Trump and then pretended that he'd...
Kanye.
Isn't that guy like a
well, Kanye
person?
Is married to Kim Kardashian. The thing is, though, Kanye has legitimate talent. Kanye is a brilliant artist. Like, he has pumped out a lot of great, great music.
Right.
And he's as egotistical, as arrogant, as...
So he's
self-absorbed as you're ever going to find, but there is something that backs it up in terms of his music. His catalog speaks for itself.
Right.
Lonzo Ball potentially could get to that point if everything goes his way in the NBA. Kanye also doesn't have his dad or a father figure out there speaking on his behalf the way Lonzo does. But you look at the Kardashians, they've done less than Lonzo Ball. At least Lonzo Ball plays, you know, like Kim Kardashian had a sex tape and then she became popular.
Yeah.
Like, who the hell are the Kardashians? Yet in the States, people buy up their stuff.
Yeah.
People buy up their clothing line, and they watch their show, and they get ratings.
Yeah.
So, honestly, I think if they priced them appropriately, people would buy the shoes.
Yeah, but you need to find, like, for me, you need something to, like, gravitate to. Like...
fame.
Well, but
that's the thing. It is...
not famous.
He is famous now. It never makes sense how you get to fame. Like, the road to fame doesn't always make sense. But the Kardashians, how are they famous?
He's infamous. There's a difference. The guy, you know the name, but he's unlikable.
I'd buy a Carlo Colaiacovo shoe.
Would you?
Yeah.
A high top.
I'd buy his jersey.
Would you?
Yeah.
St. Louis Blues or a Maple Leaf jersey?
St. Louis, because he's going to come in here and tell us how good of a city the St. Louis is.
I've known Carlo longer than both of you.
For sure.
I'll bet he comes in here and says St. Louis was hot garbage, awful town.
No.
That's my guess.
It's a hidden gem. There's lots to do there. And it's a great sports city. Great party city, too.
He spent, I think, 4 years in St. Louis.
Yeah, I'm sure he's been over to East St. Louis a few times. Pops. Great bar.
Someone texting in, Chad Ochocinco has already bought a pair of shoes.
Well, he's an idiot.
This is what's going to end up happening, though. It's like people are going to buy the shoes.
You can't even get them till September.
I know, but you're going to go online, purchase them, and then you're going to post it. Because what is happening now is people are starting to get behind the idea that he's anti-establishment, anti-corporation. He wants to be an entrepreneur as opposed to an endorser. And I think some people are going to get behind that. I think ultimately it's going to blow up in their face because the dad is exploiting his kid and he's an idiot and the dad's not going to play. And when he gets to the NBA, to Tom's point, someone's going to pull Lonzo aside and say, if your dad ever shows up here again, you're off the team or we're going to throw you in a locker or something.
What
like
he
that.
Needs.
I would avoid the kid no matter how talented in a draft just to not deal with the dad.
Here's another perfect example of celebrity not making sense. Does the term cash me outside, how about dad, ring
exactly.
a bell?
Yes.
That girl is getting paid $20,000 per appearance, reportedly. $20,000 for Cash Me Outside, How About That?
Cash Me Outside, how about that?
$20,000.
I know, but she'll be a flavor of the month, and then we'll hear about her having a sex tape when she's old enough to have it.
She'll get real popular.
No, and then she'll be flushed out of the... She'll get her 15 minutes and move on.
Cash Me Outside, how about that?
Cash Me Outside, how about that?
I tweeted out, and I got an interesting like. Friend of the show.
All right. We'll come back, get you the answer on that. Carlo Koliakovo will join us in studio. Future headlines in 45. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050.
A myth began to grow about my speed.
I'm too old to waste my time trying to train a no-good loser like you. You bum!
I need a miracle.
Run, Forrest, run! Get
set. From coaching to 10K. Brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer.
All right, this potentially could be our final couching to 10K, but we are team players, so we're going to look into getting Noodles involved at some point.
Yep.
Couching to 10K is brought to you by Old Tomorrow Craft Beer, just like Canada. Old Tomorrow Canadian Pale Ale is feisty but polite. You're awesome, so is our beer. Can't thank them enough as well. They sent down another case of beer just to get us prepped for the weekend.
I tweeted it out, said post-show 10K prep for the boys.
And we are hoping for a lot of bad weather on Sunday.
Any interesting feedback?
There was a liked tweet by a friend of the show, Kenny Pagan. Kenny Pagan,
the beer tosser himself,
liked the tweet. Like, I actually have more respect for this gentleman. Like,
we gotta
get him on.
I would love to have Ken Pagan.
He's in my three stars.
They follow
tonight.
Each other.
Yes,
I think he follows.
Send him a DM. Say, could we talk to you next week?
No, because I don't think he wants to relive.
I don't want to be that guy that I'm not going to put him on the spot. Ken, if you're listening or whatever, if you want to reach out and you want to come on and tell your side of the story, we'll have Ken Pagan on.
Remember, we defended him. We were like, this guy, they were on a manhunt for him.
Well, we didn't defend the act. The act was stupid, and he shouldn't have done it. But we defended the fact that his life shouldn't be turned upside down.
Correct. That was my point.
Anyway, as for the update, I was standing a lot today.
Yes.
You get the blood, like a good stand can go a long way.
A good stand. That's where we're at?
I walked to breakfast and back, and I had a good couple stretches in between.
I'm feeling good about Sunday.
Steph and I are moving. Mm. I've got a bad back, but I'm still brought some boxes over and up the stairs, down the stairs.
So there you go. You did some stairs.
I did some stairs.
I did some stairs. I got stairs in the house. I was up and down the stairs.
A couple times.
I did some stairs. I stood a lot. I walked in from the parking lot.
You're all good.
It's all preparation, man.
We are primed.
All right, Carlo Koliakovo in studio for the full hour. We're looking forward to this. We get him to either stand up or shoot down the idea that St. Louis is actually a cool town. We'll tee up the two hockey games tonight, get his take on Cutler, a lot of different things, and future headlines at 6:30. Final hour up next. Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 and on the TSN Go app.